Good morning. It's Wednesday, the 14th of December. I'm Claire Johnston and you're listening to The Courier Daily.
My favourite item, of which there are many in the collections, but the one I've selected for today is a dummy version of the Courier and Advertiser, published on the 29th of September in 1943, except it wasn't actually published.
That was David Powell, Archives Manager at DC Thompson, and as a special festive treat today, we'll be taking you down memory lane as the Archives team tell us about some of their favourite pieces from an archive that includes some of our earliest newspapers, long-forgotten titles, and of course some of Scotland's most treasured comic characters. This Christmas, never miss an important story affecting our communities. Join us this festive season and become a subscriber today, because local matters. Visit thecourier.co.uk/subscribe. Now, if you've ever wondered just what treasures sit behind the doors of DC Thompson's extensive archive at Kingsway, then you're going to enjoy hearing from our archives team today as they share some of their favourite items in a collection that includes our news titles, along with the Beano, Dandy, Commando, the much-loved Jackie and Bunty magazines, and much more. Here's what our archives team had to tell producer Morven McIntyre.
Hi, my name's David Powell. I'm the archive manager for DC Thompson. The reason the item wasn't published, or the issue of the newspaper wasn't published, was because it was a practice run for the event that Meadowside or Bank Street, where our printing presses were based, were damaged by bombs in the war, and therefore they wouldn't be able to get the newspapers out. So in preparation for this potential catastrophe, the editors set up a small newsroom in one of the private houses of a Thompson family member. This was a very small staff, including a typist and a couple of journalists, and they were tasked with producing a newspaper. So at this point, the standard newspaper is 4 pages, with the front page still being classified adverts and the interior being predominantly war news and local news. The dummy copy was a single sheet of about A3 size paper, and it was very much a reduced version of the newspaper. And the news is actually news that was in the newspaper around that time. It's not a spoof. And so it carries death notices of a prominent Arbroath news agent, news from Parliament about arguments over what's happening in response to the war, and even something about the Royal Horticulture Society dropping the word Japanese from the descriptions of flowers because this wasn't seen as good wartime news. So it's very much a practical example of the business coping at a time of uncertainty and making sure that it could still get the news out to its readers, regardless of whatever else was happening in the world.
So I'm Molly Horn, and I'm the cataloguing archivist here in the archive. I've chosen to talk to you about the Scots magazine. It's a really great primary source because it shows how people obtained and digested news from 1739, when it was first published, all the way up to today. It covered topical news as well as some general interest pieces, and it covered some really major events, including the Battle of Culloden in 1746. It's also explored some ideas of science and philosophy, so there's really interesting articles, including the Milky Way Explained and the observations of electricity. So people were gaining news as well as new knowledge. As well as documenting Scottish and British news, the magazine kept people up to date on foreign affairs, and this largely meant battles and revolutions. When I was cataloguing the collection, I saw that we had the volumes covering the first stage of the French Revolution, which ran from 1789 to 1799. You can see it ramping up from the reports of the storming of the Bastille to the coverage of the meetings of the National Assembly, which was a new sort of state of government established after the initial rebellions. The trial of Louis XVI doesn't actually make the front page until February 1793, which was a full month after his execution. Unfortunately, there was a gap in publishing, so we're missing the 1848 revolution, but it's fascinating to see how the original revolution progressed into the Terror, through into Napoleon's reign, and then back to the Bourbon Restoration. This is only one tiny story from the extensive publication, and you can already see how it had changed from its original form in the 1740s. It continued to change through the 1800s and into the 1900s, where it became more focused on anthropology and fiction, and then in today, where it's more focused on Scottish culture and Scottish interests.
My name is Gary Thomas, and an archive assistant, and I have chosen a photographic album from the 1950s. It's the Bank Street staff at the Love Darg event. I have chosen this because it's a lovely collection of photographs of staff, past staff members. It gives a really good window into what the people were wearing, what they looked like at the time. And also, it has helped in a couple of inquiries where staff members, children and family members have come looking for staff members. And it's possibly the only thing I can think of that we have from the 1950s. And it's good because it's a large collection of staff shots. All the staff are named. Basically, it's a good resource for that kind of period in time. It shows the kind of, there are some actually family shots in here, so it shows the relationships between the people. And this album is 77 years old. It's kind of the photo booth and selfie album of an event from the time. And it was kind of interesting to see whether or not photographs being taken this Christmas are still around 77 years from now.
Hello, my name's Melissa Loney and I'm an archives assistant for DC Thompson. I've spent quite a lot of time working with the original artwork produced for the Brunza and Uruwali, and out of this is where I've chosen one of my favourite pieces of the archives. So by working with the original artwork as opposed to the comic strips, you get to see a lot of previously unseen notes and sketches relating to the production and creative process. So one of the most common things that you'll come across are amendments to the artwork. Sometimes it's a note specifically saying, you've drawn this incorrectly. I do sometimes come across larger amendments that have to be covered with a piece of paper and the new art will be drawn on top. The biggest example of this that I came across was from the Bruins strip for the 13th of February, 1944. So in this strip, Hen and Joe have been covered by a piece of paper and replaced by Maggie and Daphne entirely. And you can still see them just underneath. So my personal theory is that this was a continuity issue because a lot of the strips around this time were focusing on the war. And 2 weeks after this strip, Hen and Joe are supposed to be on leave in India.
Hello, I'm Barry. I'm the assistant archivist with DC Thompson & Co Limited. Archive material I've chosen today is not so much a what as a who. And during the work that we did on the first season of Reading Between the Lines, your sister podcast with the People's Friend, we discovered a writer we'd never heard of before called A.P. MacDonald. This guy was very prevalent and really, really popular back in around 1905, but we'd never heard of him. His real name was George Andrew Holm, and he was born in Birmingham in 1870. But because he lived and worked and married in Scotland and married a Scot, his use of dialect in his stories was so convincing, we were convinced he was a Scot himself. He wrote a large number of different things, including features, some sports stuff. He came up with some games, which was bizarre, and a lot of fiction. And his best fiction were the McPeever Wrangles, which in 1905, depending on when you were born, were either the George and Mildred of their day, or maybe kind of Homer and Marge. So this kind of antagonism between a married couple, but always done with a lot of humour and a lot of love. And this stuff is absolute gold. It's been covered quite a lot in the podcast itself, but we really enjoy the fact that he is so funny and so concise with what he writes. It's almost like poetry. There's no space on the page wasted at all. So in answer to the question, why is it important that we look after this material? I guess there's always the social, cultural, history aspect, but as well as that, there's the legal element as well. Each of our titles is trademarked, but you'd be surprised at just how often people would like to use The Dandy, for example, as a title of their own new publication. Now, it's all well and good saying, actually, this is ours, we're DC Thompson, The Dandy, who's been around since 1937. But if you can't prove that, then you don't have a legal leg to stand on. So holding on to not just the Bownfeld copies, but any of the contracts as well, very important.
Well, it is very much for the brand and for the heritage of the company, but this is also a society. It's an album of shots of people from Dundee, mostly from Dundee, family members, and it's actually really useful for tracking down members who worked in the 1950s in Bank Street and actually seeing their faces, which is something not a lot of people get to see from the 1950s.
It's really important to preserve this archive because it shows how people gained their news. It was a monthly publication and it really showed how there was a delay in how people actually got their news. It also features wide-ranging events. It talks about Scottish events as well as that from the rest of Britain and worldwide.
I've got two reasons that always come to mind on this question. First one is that this is the company's history. We've got a long history that dates back 250 plus years. And so recording that for our own use, for reuse, republication, even doing things like this is really important. But there's a wider importance, and that's to society as a whole. We tell the story of the area, we record the history of the area covered by our newspapers. So this isn't just an asset for us, it's an asset for society.
We look after about 300 years worth of publishing history, which is, as well as anything else, the social and cultural history of this country. And there's so much stuff in here that we just haven't rediscovered. I think it's important we keep this, look after it, and allow access to future generations so they can discover for themselves the sort of material that's been published 300, 200, 100 years ago, even 10 years ago.
Thanks for joining us today on the Courier Daily. Don't forget to check out the website for more local news. Find us at thecourier.co.uk. If you're enjoying the show, give us a rating wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Make sure you check back tomorrow for all the local news that you need to know. The Courier. Local matters.